Our scripture today is John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It says God so loved the world, he gave. Our subject this morning is mercy fulfilled. There are many, many scriptures in the Bible that talk about God's love and his mercy. In fact, there are scriptures that say his love endureth forever. There are scriptures that say his mercy endureth forever. You cannot have mercy without love. So God so loved the world. He looked down on humanity, and it was sad, the condition that humanity was in. It was sad in how they reacted to everything around them. It was sad that they went off into sin and they got worse and worse, even at one point to where God was sorry that he had ever made man. They were so pitiful and so evil and pitiful that he was sorry that he had even made them. But he looked down in mercy. He so loved us, he looked down in mercy and he said, I love the world so much, I'm going to give what is precious to me. And he gave his only Son. Now, before Jesus came here, he was in heaven with the Father. We know that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost make up the Godhead. Makes up one God.
Yes.
But he sent his Son down. And after he had sent his Son to earth, do you think heaven was changed? Think about it. God had always had his Son right there. It had always been. It had never been any other way. During this virus time, we have learned how much we appreciate fellowship. Well, now God is without his Son in heaven. In heaven.
Yes.
Heaven is changed.
Wow. Yes.
We know that when when Jesus came back, there was much rejoicing. When a soul comes to God, there's much rejoicing.
Right.
What happened in heaven when Jesus went down? When Jesus left all that splendor in heaven, how was it changed? I can't say how it was. We can only speculate and know that there had to have been a change that could be felt. There had to have been. So now, God, so to speak, to have mercy on us, took something that was precious to him and gave it up.
Yes.
And then Jesus, who also loved us, was willing to be the one to come down and live in this miserable, sin-cursed world. He was willing to be confined in a human body, to be under the authority of parents, and obey what they said to do when he was God from heaven. But this is mercy fulfilled. This is giving up something of myself to have mercy on someone else. So now Jesus is here on this earth and he's confined and underneath parents and restricting his abilities. There are many things that were restrictive to Jesus while he was here. He didn't have the same freedoms that he had in heaven. He was clothed in a human body. How could he have the same freedoms? He couldn't have. So here he is. And in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It says, let us come boldly to the throne and obtain mercy.
Yes.
Jesus was tempted in all points,
yes,
as we are. So not only was he confined to a human body, but now he had to put up with the devil.
Right.
He had to put up with the devil coming at him and tempting him. We know about his great temptation after he had fasted in the wilderness and how the devil was able to come and talk with him. He had the power to banish the devil. He had the power to make him be quiet. He had those kind of powers. They didn't have to put up with anything from the devil in heaven.
Right.
But he's on earth now. And he's in a human body now. So now, he has to restrict himself to allow the enemy to come in and tempt him. And why is he tempted? He's not tempted because of his God, his Godhead side. He's tempted because of the flesh side. He put on flesh so that he could be tempted of the devil and be the perfect sacrifice.
Yes.
This is mercy, dear ones.
That's true.
This is mercy fulfilled. That I am willing to take. I have never, ever gone through this before. I have never, all I have done is tried to help people that were going through it, but I've never had to face it, never had to go through it. You know, we all have that saying in the world that you don't really understand unless you walk in another man's shoes. Jesus was walking in our shoes.
Right.
He was feeling and understanding,
yeah,
exactly what was happening because it was happening to him.
Yeah.
And he allowed it. This is mercy. He loved, God so loved the world, and Jesus so loved the world, he was willing to come. This is mercy, great mercy. And then it says, so, since we know all of this, it says in the 16th verse, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, that we might be full of love and full of mercy, that we might have what God, the Father, and Jesus, that we might have what they did for us, that we might have the completeness of it.
Yes.
In Mark 10, 32 through 34, and they were, and this is Jesus talking, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, after he was done with these sayings, I don't know how long of a time there was. I hope there was a long time before the next scriptures that are in line right behind this came to pass. But do you know what the next scriptures were? It was about two of his disciples saying about sitting on his right hand. Sitting on his right and his left hand. Did they hear what he said? Do we hear? Sometimes do we hear what God and Jesus did for us? Do we hear what they did and what it's supposed to happen? Or are we so caught up in our small things are what's bothering me here and what's bothering me there, and they're not treating me fair here, and this isn't happening right there. We're so caught up in that that we can't even recognize this great sacrifice. There are people that get so caught up in things that it bothers them so much that that day they can hardly get down to pray. And they can hardly get down to read and be with God because they're so distressed over their stuff. God wants us to have what he had, which is love and mercy. He wants us to have that. And he wants it to give it to us. And he wanted to give it to us through his son. His son was going to pay the perfect price for our sinful condition. But after that, it says that we're going to have to come to a place where we go after what we need. Why is it that when people say that, oh, no, they don't want to come to church, and no, they would never do that again, and they don't want to go back because someone in church bothered them? Somebody in church said the wrong thing. Somebody in church had, something went wrong. Something happened. And I'm never, why are you punishing God for that?
Right.
Did he let you down? Did he say, I'm not going to take care of them today. I'm just going to let this happen to them today and I don't really care. Is that what he did?
No.
No. There he is. There he is, seeing and understanding where you're coming from. He understands because he's been tempted in all ways like you have been. And he's been tempted. And he wants to show you mercy during this time of trouble. He wants to show you love and mercy. And you are so wrapped up in your trials, your tests, whatever's going on, that you cannot even receive his love and mercy. In fact, you walk away from him. You go back on him. You go off and, so to speak, pout about it, pet about it, and go and call people about it and tell people about it. But I can't hardly pray today. I can't seem to get anywhere with God today. I can't seem to open my Bible today. I can't seem to pray today, but I can talk to my friend and I can tell him all about it and I can do all manner of things. But I can't go to the one that is able to help me. The one that can really do something about it.
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus felt that too? He felt that too. Don't you know he was disappointed? Don't you know that things hurt him? Don't you know he had feelings? How could he be touched with the feelings of our infirmities if he didn't have the feelings and feel the same kind of things?
Right.
He felt all those same things.
Yes.
But he did something different. He went off and prayed alone. He went off and got a hold of God. And then he came back and he told them what God had said about it. Oh, wouldn't that be great? That we're going through something hard, something terrible. We don't know what to do and we don't know how to go about it. And we would go off to God and we would pray to our Father and we would get a hold of it and and then we would go tell everyone else what God said and how to handle this. Is that what we do? Or do we talk about what I'm going through, how hard it is, instead of what God is doing for me in the midst of it? Jesus didn't get to get out of that human body. He didn't get to say, well, I just don't want to be in this human body today. I don't want to be touched by all these things today. I don't want to be hassled and harassed by the devil today. So I'm just going to take a step back from humanity. I'm going to just be my God today.
Wow.
He didn't do that. He stayed right in there like we're in there.
Right.
And he learned what it really was. Why do you think he stands up on the right hand of God?
Right.
And intercedes for us? Why do you think he does that?
Yeah.
Because he thoroughly allowed the things that happened in life to affect him so that he could understand what it felt like. That's why God put him in the body. That's why God sent him down here in the body. Because he said, he told us because of what Jesus had done, that we could have what he had. That we could have victory like he had victory. We can have that. So he came down here and was, tortured. And let's read in Isaiah 53. There's prophecy here about Jesus. And let's read some of these. We're going to start at verse 4 and probably go through verse 11. And this was a prophecy in the Old Testament. Way back there, God already decided. Said it was decided from the foundation of the world. But he had already decided, I'm going to send him, and I'm going to give him words. They're going to prophesy about it. They're going to talk about it. They're going to know about it. Yes. So, and when Jesus taught in the temple, what did he say? He pointed back to the Old Testament in passages of Scripture, and he told them, this day, these scriptures have been fulfilled in your ears.
Yeah.
They didn't like that, but it was truth. He could use the scriptures that he and his Father had sent down from heaven and anointed men to write the things that they were saying down. He used those very words so many hundreds of years before to prove what was happening now. But in Isaiah 53, starting at verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
How are we healed? In every way you need healing. Those stripes count for every healing,
yes.
Body, soul, mind, spirit.
Yes, amen.
Everything you need, those stripes can heal you.
Yes, amen.
There are no limitations to what he can heal.
Absolutely.
Absolutely no limitations.
Amen.
But he was wounded
because
we did something wrong. Not because he did. He was bruised because we had iniquities. It says in the sixth verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He laid the iniquity on Jesus of us all. From the foundation of the world, he laid all the iniquity upon him. That's why he had to be God too. Because one human couldn't carry all of that. We can't even carry our own. Our own gets too heavy. But he didn't earn this. It says the wages of sin is death. He died, but he hadn't sinned. He didn't deserve the wages of sin. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He didn't defend himself. There were many, many times that he did not defend himself. They accused him of so many things. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. For the transgression of my people. I created these people. And they have turned on me. And they have gone their ways. They've gone the ways of sin. They've listened to the devil instead of me. They have done all these things. But I love them. And I will have mercy on them. This is mercy fulfilled for the human race right here.
Amen.
Took his own son and let all of this happen to him. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. His grave with the wicked. He was up there with those thieves on either side of him.
Yes.
He wasn't taken to a someplace and gradually, what they call a humane death, gradually given something, a medication in his veins that he would just go to sleep and then die in his sleep.
Right.
That wasn't what happened. He suffered and felt every minute of it. And the thieves were right there with him. One of them acted like a sinner. And the other one, realizing, this is my last hope.
Yes.
And he reached out his hands and he said, if you'll just remember me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He said, I'll remember you. You'll be with me today.
Mm-hmm.
In his death, it was a rich man that came. It wasn't a poor person or whatever. The poor people probably didn't even have a place to put Jesus' body. They didn't know what to do. What would happen with Jesus' body? But a rich man came. A rich man. And he came and begged that the body would be given to him. And they gave it to him because he already had a sepulcher hewn out in a stone. And so he could get him there and inside because they weren't supposed to be doing anything. The holy days or whatever that were going on. You know, they had to get him out of there quickly, or they had to just let him lay and not be buried. So they took him into this, so the rich man took him into this tomb. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He hadn't been violent, but no deceit. He hadn't done all the things that we're guilty of. We've all been violent and we've all been deceitful. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The 11th verse. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and it shall be satisfied. This is God the Father. God the Father shall see the travail of his soul, the travail that he went through, all in the garden, and the tears, and the suffering before it even came, all of the rejection, all of the things that had happened, and nobody wanted to listen to him, and how they just were plotting to kill him. He saw all these things. He let all of this happen to his son. This is mercy, dear ones. This is mercy. He shall see at the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Then God was satisfied, fulfilled everything. So why? So that we, the ones that deserve death, could go free. That's why. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Thank the Lord. This is mercy, dear ones.
Yes, it is.
Now let's talk about Luke 24, 1 through 8. Luke 24, 1 through 8. We're going to talk about the resurrection. Oh, Lord. Mercy, mercy, mercy did he have upon us. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Remember what he told you was going to happen? Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus had tried to tell them. He had tried to warn them. Isn't that what we do all the time? Don't we try to tell people the end is coming? Don't we do that? Don't we tell them all the time that death is real? You have to be ready before you die. Don't we do this all the time? Jesus had tried to tell them all about his death and then his resurrection. He tried to let them know, but they could not face it. Why? Because man really does not want to deal with death. They really don't want to deal with the idea of death. They don't want to think of any of their loved ones dying. They just don't want to deal with death. But Jesus told them ahead of time, I'm going to die.
Right, he did.
I need you to understand that you've got to get a hold of these things because I'm not going to be here. Oh, the resurrection. Oh, the resurrection and what happened at those days. Here, he began to show himself and come and reveal himself to different ones and met in their assemblies. And we have a few instances written in the Bible where he appeared. But I don't know that that were the only ones.
Right.
That may have been the only ones written down. But I'm not sure that was the only ones.
Yeah.
I believe there could have been, you know, people off, out, so to speak, isolated, away from cities and away from crowds. But they had heard and they had done and they had sacrificed and they had done everything that they should do. And they had repented and they had been baptized and they were living to all they knew. And I believe Jesus visited more than just the ones that we hear about. Let me ask you, doesn't Jesus today still visit every soul? Doesn't he still visit every soul? After his resurrection, has he not gone and visited every soul?
That's true.
Does he not draw them and talk to them and try to get them to do right? Doesn't he visit every soul? But just like many, many of the people didn't believe, just like Thomas, he didn't believe. The Lord even went a step further and helped Thomas out.
He sure did.
Do you know he does that for us? He goes a little step further and helps us out. There are people that say things like, well, if there is a God, show me whatever. And do you know how faithful God has been to help them to see? If they really want to see God and they really want to know him, do you know how faithful he is to let them see and know him? He is faithful because he's merciful. He sent his only son to show his great mercy upon us. Abraham was willing to give up his son. That was great love, wasn't it? And it was great devotion and faith in God to offer his only son, the son that was of promise. It was great, great faith. But he knew God. And he knew that God, it said he knew that God was even able to raise him from the dead. If I have to go that far, I know God can raise him from the dead. I know he can. I know this can be done. We need to have that. But this mercy that God flowed down upon the earth at this time and season of the year. And although I think that probably this celebration, I don't know if it's actually at the same time of year, at the right kind of time of the year that it should be. I haven't studied into it. I don't know for sure. I know there's a lot of things that aren't exactly, that have been celebrated that aren't exactly at the right time. I don't know if this one is the right time.
Right.
It may be. But the point being, down through the history of time, we are still celebrating the resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
How powerful is that?
Amen.
We are not celebrating a kingdom anymore. We are not celebrating this great king or that great happening. We are not celebrating all of the wonderful miracles and different things that happened throughout history. Magnificent things.
Yes.
We don't celebrate those things, but this one,
amen,
we still celebrate.
Yes.
It's real.
Yes, it is.
Do you remember when
the
sisters there at the tomb, just Mary, I believe it was, she didn't recognize him?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He was in his resurrected body.
Yes.
She didn't recognize him. Till he said, Mary.
Yes.
And then she knew. It just flooded her. She knew. It was a revelation he gave her. And the men on the road, they didn't know who he was. But after he was gone, they said, didn't our hearts burn?
Yes.
He convinced them too.
Uh-huh.
Do you know that after we're resurrected from sin to this godly life, we shouldn't be recognizable by the world?
Amen.
We should be so different that they're saying, well, I think that's who I used to know, but they're so different. I'm not sure.
Amen.
I'm not sure.
Help me, Lord. Amen.
Aren't we supposed to have that?
Yes.
Where after this resurrection has taken place in our breast, are we not supposed to be different?
Yes. Amen.
We're supposed to be a new creature in Christ, it says. That old things have passed away. Behold, everything's become new. Oh, what a disappointment it must be to the Father and the Son that gave up so much for us to see people call their name and yet look like the world and act like the world and say you can't live above sin and make no changes in their lives. What a disappointment. What a heartache it must be for them after the great mercy they showed on humanity, that no matter what you have done, there isn't a sin bad enough that can keep you from coming and taking the sacrifice that was made for you. Not a sin bad enough. There isn't. There are a lot of people that say, well, I know that, you know, there's a special place in hell for such and such. Oh, you know what? There's a special place in hell for them if they will turn, if they will confess before God, if they will cry and ask forgiveness and Jesus come into their heart. It won't matter what they did in the past. We might not be able to forgive it. We might not be able to forget it. Oh, but through Jesus' blood, God doesn't see it anymore. He is a new creature. She is a new creature in Christ. Mercy, mercy, when the whole world, not only good people, but even the dregs of society in prison say, don't put them in here with us because we'll kill that one. His sin is too great. But not God, not Jesus. Their mercy was so great that they came down, and when everyone else completely ignores and casts off and will not have anything to do with certain people because of their great sins, Jesus says, come unto me, I'll take you. Come unto me, I will take you. Everybody else may shun you and cast you off, but you come unto me, I'll take you. Because I love you. I love you. We love you. We created you. We love you. And we want to show you this great mercy that the world knows nothing about.
Wow.
All right, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Oh, dear ones. See, we get something at his coming. That resurrected body he had, we're going to get one of those. We're going to be clothed in that resurrected body. He was the first fruits. He was the first human body that went to the grave and rose up out of the grave, resurrected, and then he promised all of us, you're going to have the same thing. You're going to have it. All those souls, all those ones that are in paradise right now,
yes,
they do not have resurrected bodies. It doesn't come until Jesus comes. They're spirits waiting. They are disembodied. Brother Leslie Busby used to say, disembodied spirits. That's where they are. They're there. Oh, they're enjoying paradise. Paradise is good. It's really good. But what it says, what we're going to have at his coming, but every man in his order, Christ the first fruits. He was the first one to have this resurrected body. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. That's when we'll get it. That's when we get that body. And us on, or we'll rise to meet him and we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And those are going to come out. It says that the souls will be coming out of the graves. And they're going to come, these resurrected bodies. It's going to happen in an instant. All those waiting in paradise instantaneously shall have what Jesus was the first fruits of. Luke 24:44 through 53. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. He's on a hillside now with his disciples. He's getting ready to leave them. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. It's all happened. Everything I talked to you about has happened, which were written in the law of Moses. He was talked about way back there. In the prophets he was talked about, and in the Psalms concerning me. All these places that I am mentioned in all these books, it's happened. It's finally happened. This is it. This is what you've been waiting for. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. See, they didn't necessarily understand all those scriptures. You know, just like the one that was in the chariot, and I don't remember which apostle it was that said, do you understand what you read? Well, he says, how am I going to understand? Is this talking about he himself, or is he talking about another?
Right.
See, sometimes the scriptures are hard to be understood, but at this point, right here, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is why. This is why. Because the word had to get out that there's been a price paid. And you don't have to languish in your sins anymore. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to feel bad all the time. Do you know there were people that felt bad all the time? Because they were good people. You know what I'm talking about. We have some around us here this very day. We look around and we see some good people, but they're not saved. But they're good people. They want to do right, but they can't help it. They try to do right, but they fail. They do all these things, but they're still languishing under the curse of sin. But Jesus said, but I've changed it. I came and changed the dynamics that we live under now. I've changed it. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Oh, you know what? Would you have liked to have been standing there and had Jesus bless you? Right there, right before he left, to have him bless you. I can't even imagine what kind of words he said. But I think they remembered him. And I think he said things that opened their understanding. And he said things and blessed them and prayed over them, so to speak, in such a way that they got better understanding. You know how we are when we're at the altar. And we're seeking for something.
Yeah.
And we start praying, and sometimes in our own prayer, we say the answer to the problem. That is what Jesus is doing for them right here. That's what he's doing for them. He's opening up some things.
Wow.
And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Oh, listen, dear ones. While he blessed them.
Yes.
I can almost imagine that he's blessing them and God the Father, so to speak, reaches down and just starts bringing him back to heaven. You're my son and you're coming back. It's going to be permanent. You're coming back. And as he's blessing them, and they're straining to hear the words and all this, and then he's so far away they can no longer hear, but they can still see. And then he gets so far away they can't see him anymore.
Wow.
And then it says, what did they do right there? What'd they do right there? It says, and they worshiped him. Oh, don't you know, I would like to have been in that service.
Right.
I'd like to have been in that worship service. After all that had happened, all of the sadness and all of the grief that they bore, and then all of the failures that they had when he was killed, and then all of the coming back and the realizing that the resurrection had really happened, and then the great joy they felt, and then the idea that he appeared here and appeared there and taught them, and now here they all are gathered together, and I don't know that they knew he was going to leave. I don't know if they knew. But their understanding was opened as he spoke to them there.
Yes.
They were willing to let him go. You know how times they said, you shouldn't go to Jerusalem. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. And they're all those things. But they let him go. We don't have anywhere. This was such an anointed setting. This was so anointed by the power of God right there that they couldn't even really speak. There was no more questions. You notice there was no more questions? You know how they always had questions? There was no more questions. He had just opened up their understanding to understand the scriptures. They had so much had been just opened up to them and freed up in their minds. They were full. And then he blessed them and all the things he must have said while he was blessing them. And they were just so full. All they could do was worship him.
Right.
I can imagine them crying. Falling on their knees, crying and worshiping and shouting and testifying to each other. Oh, this is so good. What he has done for us.
Yes.
And then it says, they worship him right there. And then it says, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They came with joy. Their master had left them. How could they be joyful? Oh, it's the same way that we can be joyful in any trial. We can learn to be joyful in any trial because we have them. They knew that they would have him forever.
Amen.
They knew.
Thank the Lord.
It was opened up to them. They understood. They knew they were going to have him forever, that death couldn't keep him in the grave. And now that he was resurrected, he was going to his Father, but that wouldn't even keep him away.
Right.
He was going to be with them.
They
didn't actually understand what this power was that he was going to send. They didn't understand it was going to be the Holy Ghost coming in and flooding their souls and giving them, burning out that Adam nature and making it to where they have no inclinations towards anything. Their whole soul and being and heart and everything is all centered towards God. They didn't understand that. They didn't know it was going to give them power to be able to testify and put up with cruel things that were going to come their way. They didn't know it was going to mean their death in horrible ways. They didn't know all of that, but they were waiting. They were waiting for that power. Whatever it was, they knew it was going to be good. And then it says, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.